Somebody say, we're in a battle. Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Remember, Pastor Bradford taught a series on the good fight of faith. And he taught me that it's a good fight because we win. How many know it's a good fight when you win? So let me just remind you of that, that UFC fighter. You know, if he didn't do the right thing as his car is being taken away, as his car is being hijacked, you know what? If he don't go out there and take his car back, that person will take his car. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says he roams the earth seeking whom he may devour. There's some of you, and he's trying to devour your health, and you need to stand up and proclaim. You need to have the belt of truth on and say, no. In the word of God, God has declared, listen to me. God has declared that by his stripes I'm healed. Did Jesus take those stripes or did he not? Amen. So step out in faith. And I know there's a lot of people who say, well, you never know. You know, sometimes it goes this way and sometimes it doesn't. But I believe there's way too much exaltation of what the doctors are saying and not enough exaltation about what Dr. Jesus said. Can you say amen? There's some people and God is trying to destroy your marriage. And you've got to stand up and say, no, Jackson, not on my watch. No. Oh, Satan's trying to destroy. Thank you. That's my helper. She can help me, right? Satan's trying to destroy your marriage. And you got to stand up and say, Or your peace of mind. You need to say, no. Not this time, not today, and not tomorrow. But you got to start off by saying, not today. Not today. No. You know, and so that fight, that's what he did. And he said, he looked at this guy, and this guy was like, yeah, I'm taking your car. That's what he said. He looked at the guy, and he's like, yeah, I'm taking your car. See, how many know if you were a UFC fighter, you wouldn't let him do that? Is that not right? You go, uh-uh. And he said he pulled him out of the car. And the guy, see, these... Satan is not expecting you to pull him out of the car. Is that not right? There's been too much pacifism in the fighting of the spiritual warfare. And we have all the tools we have to win. That guy, you know what? All he had to do is pull the guy out of the car. He said that guy started apologizing to me. You know what? And he said, I got a couple of good fists in and good knees before he left. See? You want to think twice. And so we have to have the belt of truth on that tells us, no. I know the truth. I know who I am. You're not going to tell me who I am. I'm going to tell me who I am. God's going to tell me who I am. The society's not going to tell me who I am. God's going to tell me who I am. I tell this story a lot, but some of you are new. You need to hear this story. You know what? I'm cheap, frugal. Thank you, my friend. And my wife wanted some floral stuff, and they were, how much were they a piece? About $150, $200. For one. And she wanted three of them. Well, even my lightning fast mind can figure out that's too much money. Right? I was like, I'll tell you what. I said, I worked at Albertsons at the time up in Monrovia. It's not there anymore, but right next to it was a Michaels. And you know what? And I knew they had all kinds of flowers. You know what? And then they got these green foam stuff. I mean, who do you think's poking all that flowers in the green foam stuff? Somebody's doing it. And I knew my wife was so creative. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $100 and you can go up there and buy as many flowers as you want. So she went up there and bought a bunch of flowers, bought a bunch of green foam stuff. And she was crying at 11 o'clock because I wouldn't buy her thing. But about 4 o'clock in the morning, she wasn't crying no more. Right? Because she's creative. She was able to figure that out. Here's my point. Satan will try to tell you what you are not when God's already told you what you are. You listen to what God said. He's in charge. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Then God tells you who you are. You don't tell God who you are. Let God tell you who you are. Years and years and years and later, we were making this beautiful, beautiful, what do they call the arch? We had an arch trellis for Christmas, and she was making it up. It was, well, it wasn't gorgeous then, but it was going to be gorgeous, or it was already gorgeous. And a lady came by and said, man, that is so beautiful. You're so talented. How do you do that? I wish I could do that. And the Holy Spirit reminded Tamara and told her, don't ever let somebody else tell you who you are. Let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you who you are. You're a mighty man and woman of God. But you got to put the belt of truth on and recognize what God says about you. That is the truth. No matter how you feel, no matter what your friends say, no matter what, you got to put the belt of truth on. Then you got to put the breastplate of righteousness on. Somebody say the breastplate of righteousness. See, you've been so many people just spend so much time calling you know what, the, you know, lazy dog, ugly, buck tooth, big ears, you know what? Come on. No, if you got big old ears, God likes your ears. Amen? Can you say amen to this? And we got, you know, there was a video, you've probably seen it. It's pretty famous. And there's this lady, and she's pretty already, which is the main point. She's pretty already. But they take her in, and you see the fast forward. They do her makeup, and they do her hair, and then they take pictures, and then they fix her. And they move her eyes out a little bit and move her eyebrows up a little bit, and they do all this stuff. And then you don't see her on the billboard. You see this fake person that they made up. No, God liked her just the way he made her. And God likes you just the way he makes you. Amen. But you got to put that belt of truth on. You have to have the breastplate of righteousness on. And all the goofball things that you've done, you need to recognize, no, that's in the past. You are now a new creation. All things have become new. The Bible says, behold. That means look at it this way. You're not who you were. You are who Christ made you. And I taught you last week, brush your teeth and say, you know what? Who am I? Who am I? I taught you last week. Who am I? I'm Saint Drew. Come on. That's what Paul calls me. That's what Peter calls me. Jesus calls me a son. Oh, my goodness. See, and you preach like this, and people who've got this religiosity in their hearts because they've been taught this kind of bashing down for so long. And then you add that, what society says about you and your imperfections, and they started when you were in kindergarten, and they haven't stopped. and that has gotten into your heart, and you gotta get it out of your heart. You gotta say, no, God is pleased with me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin for me. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about the shoes of peace. Somebody say the shoes of peace. How many know shoes are important? I got this. Let's read Ephesians first. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's start with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Of course, we have it up here on the screens. I'm reading out of the New King James. If you don't have that version, that's all right. There's a lot of good versions. But you have it up here on the screen that you can read with us word for word. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Power of His might. Be strong in the Lord, not in your power, in His power. Put on the whole armor of God. Somebody say the whole armor. That you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, indicating that there's an enemy that we have that we need to be able to stand, indicating this verse that if we don't have the whole armor of God, we won't be able to stand. How many know some Christians who've been wiped out? Well, what was their problem? It wasn't that God's will was that they be wiped out. It was that they didn't have the armor of God, according to this verse. See, God wants you to be able to stand. For we do not wrestle, verse 12, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts in wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day and having all to then stand. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, you need to stand and you need to not quit. Therefore, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which would you able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. Tyler texted me this morning. Says, Dad, when you come to church, be careful. There is somebody driving the wrong way on the freeway. I was like, oh, okay. Thank you, son. I'll be careful. Didn't even connect the dots. I walked from our bathroom into our bedroom, and I recognized what I had just done. About 5-10 minutes before he had called, I was moved by the Spirit to pray for my son's protection and specifically angels over him as he drove. Oh, there you are. I didn't even tell him that. And it was like, oh my goodness. See, that's part of the armor of God. Let me teach you this. And these shoes of peace are absolutely critical that you put on. It's so critical. I'm going to teach this to you. You ready to learn something today? Okay. So I'm in the living room, minding my own business. There was something happened, and I wanted to get something for Tamara. Amen? Come on, somebody say amen to this. And I was excited to get it for her, and so I was kind of rushing a little bit. I got up, and it wasn't like it wasn't right there. It was right there. And I got up, and Tyler was there, and all of a sudden, boom, I just slammed my foot right into a piece of the furniture. And you know what I did? I was like, ah! And I was hopping around, ah! And I went to the next room because my wife can get emotional about stuff. Especially about her husband. One time Shayla had done something, and I picked Shayla up and I moved her to the next room. What am I doing? I want to assess Shayla in calmness. I mean, those parents, you can get hysterical sometimes. Okay. And so I went in the next room, and you ever hurt yourself so bad and you know it's bleeding, you know it's bloody, you know it's bad, but you don't look at it because you want the pain to go away first. And then once the pain subsides a little bit, then you'll look at it. How many know what I'm talking about? So I was thinking this thing is absolutely bloody, and I'm hopping on it, and I'm thinking, man, I don't want to get Tamara's carpet all bloody. So I hopped into the kitchen, and I was thinking, and then it finally, the pain subsided just a little bit, enough for me to venture to look at it. And when I looked at it, the good news was there was absolutely no blood. How many know that was the good news? Here was the bad news. One toe was going this way. One toe was going this way. One toe was going this way. But that fourth toe was going this way. Okay. Can I tell you another funny story? So, Pastor, that's not a funny story. No, it's not. It's really not. But I'll tell you another funny story about Tamara and Tyler. So we go down to the beach. We go down to the beach. This is a true story. We go down the beach. Tyler, how old were you, Tyler? 11. He's 11 years old. We get to the beach. He's excited. Go down. He's body surfing. He goes down the water right away. Of course, we got all the picnic stuff. We're setting up. And all of a sudden, Tyler, he comes up from the shore, and he's got his arm like this, but it looks like a W. It's like down, then up, then down, then up. And I know instantly, I don't know all the details, but I know what happened. I mean, I'm sharp enough. He broke his arm. You know what I mean? I know something, boom, you know what? And so he comes, and he's got a high tolerance of pain. So he's not yelling or screaming or anything. He's like, you know what? And so Tamara, and I'm with Tamara, and I know instantly what happened. And Tyler's like this, showing us. And Tamara says, Drew, tell him to stop it. Tell him to stop it. She's thinking he's doing some double jointed something. I'm like, tell him to stop it. He can't stop. Tell him to stop it. Okay, Tyler, stop it. Anyway, we got him to the hospital, and that was a whole different story. But anyway, here's my point. My point is, how many know that would have been a good day for me to have shoes on? See, I was barefoot. I had nothing to protect. If I would have even just some tennis shoes, I wouldn't have broken my toe. And it, I mean, fully, you know, anyway. Shoes are critical. And these shoes, I have this from the NIV, because I wanted you to see this. Ephesians chapter 6, we read it, but I want to read it again, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. Look up on the screen so you can see how the NIV says it. Finally, my brethren, be strong and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. No, that's not it. Let me read it to you. And having strapped, this is what the NIV says, and having strapped on your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The reason I like the NIV's version is because it depicts a more intentional way of putting on these shoes. I have a pair of boots. They're not like Texas boots. They're like, I don't know, kind of like army boots. And they're a pain because they're not slip-ons. They're laced, and they're laced all the way up. It takes me a long time to put these shoes on. That's much like the shoes that he was talking about. There is this having strapped on these shoes. Let me tell you what. How many recognize what a jacked up world we live in? Right? I mean, you just take the vaccination, for instance, right? How many know there's some people, there's a lot of people, you know, you hear the advertisement all over and over and over again. You know, take the vaccination. It's our best shot. That's what they say. Take the vaccine. It's our best shot. You know? Then how many know there's other people that are saying that most of the people that are right now in the hospital are not the unvaccinated, it's the vaccinated. I know that's not, you're not going to hear that on mainstream news. But if you're getting your information from mainstream news, la 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 la. And I'm not saying one, I'm not saying the other. What I'm saying is, you better have some shoes of peace strapped on you. Because what are you supposed to do? I mean, and I can go on and on. I'm trying to be real. I can go on and on and on with situations that are going on in this country right now. I said this Friday. If you haven't listened to the daily broadcast, this is a great time to listen to it as we're into Revelation. And Revelation is one of the jugular books that we should be reading on a constant basis. It is so helpful because we are living in la la land. La la land. Not recognizing the battle that we're in. And you start reading Revelation, you'll recognize we're in a battle, folks. And what I said on the broadcast is what we need is we don't need to be like they are. You know, pulling our hair out. What should we do? What are we going to do? What's right and what's wrong? And blah, 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 blah. You know, all this. No, no. How many know we need to be filled with peace? Christ is our peace, the Bible says. If anybody should be filled with peace, it ought to be Christians. But we're walking around without our shoes of peace on, and we're hitting our feet on sidewalks and poles and posts and the turmoil that's in this world, and there's no peace. And how in the world are they supposed to have peace if we don't bring them peace? Amen. I mean, there's Christians that are acting as crazy as the crazies. Come on, don't shout me down. What's your problem? You don't have your shoes on. You don't have your shoes on. So look at your neighbor and say, put your shoes on. Side note, we'll get into this, but I'll have it next week. C.L. Lewis wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters. Write this down, The Screwtape Letters. We'll have books for sale next week. I want you to start reading that book along with listening to these series of sermons. Why? Because the Screwtape Letters are letters that this senior demon is writing to this. They're letters that he's writing to this novice or this intern demon. And his insight on the spiritual realm is very good. It's a quick read. It's an easy read. It's a fascinating book. And not only will we have it in book form, but we'll figure out how you can get this to your iPhones or audio book. Okay? So we're going to we're going to read this book, and we're going to listen to this series on the armor of God. Okay? Now somebody say, put your shoes on. It won't take me long to preach this, but listen, I'm going to give you two good reasons to put shoes on. Say two good reasons to put shoes on. Number one, if you put these shoes of peace, of the gospel of peace, number one, it's a good idea because you're going to be peaceful. Breathe in deeply and go, oh. For most of you, you don't feel that way consistently throughout the week. And here's why. Because you don't have the shoes of peace. The shoes of peace are the shoes of the gospel of peace. Let me tell you what the gospel of peace will provide for you very quickly. They're going to provide you a lot of things, but three things predominantly. Number one, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay spiritually. How many know you better figure out to be okay spiritually? You better be okay with Jesus Christ. You know, this walking around, I don't need Jesus. God is not real. I don't need a Savior. Whatever is my truth is my truth, and whatever is your truth is your truth, and I'm good and you're good. I'm just telling you what, that is not what the Word of God is. Jesus will accept anyone. Will accept anyone. But to think that there's many ways to God is not understanding the truth. And that might make you mad. That might get you upset. You could call me names. You can say I'm not in. I'm exclusive. Well, let me tell you what. The only blood that can cleanse you from all your unrighteousness isn't Buddha. It isn't Hare Krishna. It isn't, you know, being good, trying to do good. Well, I just believe, you know what? There's good. You know, if you just treat people good, then you'll be okay. Are you kidding me? Can we be honest with you? Because I don't know about you, but I do know about you. You are not good. And even if you were perfect from this moment forward, how many messed up? How many did some stupid things? Raise your hand. Okay. Good. If your hand's not up, you're lying and that's not good, right? Okay. Do you get my point? Okay. So, but let's just say we could just move forward and never do another stupid thing again. First of all, how many takers I got on that one? That's what I thought, not many. But even if you could, what you going to do about all your old sin? Who's going to take care of that? Let me tell you about God. God will not be in the presence, in eternity. God will not be in the presence with people that are not holy. He's holy. He won't. It'll burn you up. You cannot be in his presence without perfection. So how do you get perfection? That's why Hare Krishna can't save you. That's why, you know what? Any of these people can't save you. There's no other name under heaven by which you might be saved except the name of Jesus. And I'm sorry that doesn't include, here, God includes everyone. But if you have an arrogance to say, I'm just going to do it my way, God says, well, your way is wrong. See, I believe in absolutes. I believe that 2 + 2 = 4. And this new kind of thought, well, it's what is your truth? What is my truth? Well, put on the belt of truth because you need to know there's one truth. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. So the first thing you have to understand is when you put these shoes on, you're at peace spiritually, because when you understand these aren't just shoes of peace, these are shoes of the gospel of peace. The understanding is Jesus Christ went to the cross, he died on the cross, he rose from the dead, and now the great substitute, that he is my substitute, he takes my sin and I get his righteousness. Put those shoes on, amen? You say, Pastor, that sounds like the breastplate of righteousness. Well, the truth is, there are pieces of this armament that overlap. Does that make sense? It just happens, and we'll continue to teach that. Number one, when you put these shoes on, I did stupid things, but I'm okay. Man, isn't that a good feeling? isn't it a good thing to know that you're going to be, take a big breath, say, I'm going to be with Jesus forever. That's the shoe. That is a good, that's peace shoes, man. I'm going to be with Jesus forever. Even though I did really stupid things, I'm going to be with Jesus forever because of the blood of Jesus. That is the number one thing. Put those shoes on and start walking in his peace. He has become your sin for you on the cross. Number two, you are okay with your life. See, you put these shoes in, you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know who I'm going to marry. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what's my destiny. What am I supposed to do? I don't even know. Put the shoes of peace on. Because when you put the shoes on peace on, you're going to be okay with your life. Your steps are ordered from the Lord. That's what the Bible says. See, all of a sudden you understand. You might not have it all together, but you know God has it all together. And you have his shoes. Rest, relax, recognize. Yeah, but I got off track. How many know God can get you on track supernaturally? How many know God is supernatural God? Remember that story? And all of a sudden, they're like, the ship is on this side, the ship is on this side, the ship is on this side. And all of a sudden, boom! You remember this in the New Testament? And all of a sudden, boom! The ship is on this side. How did that happen? I don't know. It's a wonder. Supernatural. You can have done stupid things in your life. You can have messed up and repent. And God can do in your life what he did with that ship supernaturally. Bang! All of a sudden, you're like, how did I get over here? Is this making sense? Listen, here's what you need to know. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts, the plans that I think towards you. I know the plans that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. When you put on the gospel shoes of peace, you can know that not only is your sin forgiven, but you could be okay in your life knowing God has a plan for me. Yeah, but I don't know what it is. But you know who he is. Is that not right? I didn't have to know everything about my dad to know his character. All he had to tell me is, Drew, you know what? I mean, when you're 8 years old, you know, you don't wake up, you're like, oh, I wonder what we're gonna have for lunch. I wonder if there's gonna be lunch. No, my dad took care of lunch. He took care of breakfast and dinner and for the next month and for the next year. I never got with my sisters and said, ooh, what are we going to do about rent this month? Why? Because I knew the character of my dad. You might not even understand all the plans because God hasn't even revealed them to you yet. But how many know the character of God? And his plan for you is a good plan. So when you put the shoes of the gospel of peace, there's this peace that comes after you and says, I don't know. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We're still outside. That wasn't the plan. The plan was we'd be, you know, roasting hot dogs right now. We'd all be inside. We're coming outside to eat hot dogs and carne asada together. That was the plan. Cheeseburgers. Thank you, Peter. Tacos. All right, stop. We're hungry. Stop. That was the plan. But how many know? Pastor, why aren't you sweating it? Because I have the shoes of peace on. Right? Why would I sweat it? See, when you put these shoes on, your life is okay. You recognize God's got a plan for me. Am I speaking to someone? Come on, relax. Put on your shoes. You're all up tense. You're all tired. You're like, oh, and now they're making us mask again. What are we going to do? Put on the shoes again. Right? Amen. When you put on the shoes of peace, number one, you're okay spiritually. Number two, you're okay in your life. And number three, you're okay knowing God is your provider. God is the one who's going to provide for you. You're okay knowing that God is your provider when you put these shoes on. Psalm 37, 25 says this, "For I have," this is David writing, I quote this often, "I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread." So interesting. There's so much talk about how poor Jesus was. You know what's so weird? I never see him going without anything in the New Testament. See, put that in your purse and swing it. Sometimes we listen to just people teaching stuff that's not even biblical. Let me tell you about God. God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. I'm talking about your physical needs. And I know we can overstate this, and it can become something that is unbiblical as we get caught up in materialism. But let me tell you what I've found. The most spiritual people are taken care of by God, and they're not materialistic. Some of the most materialistic people are the poorest people. Oh, yeah. Come on! So focus on materialism. You know, can you just relax and put these shoes on? Here, can I teach this? Giving is an opportunity. It is an opportunity. And we allow Satan to twist us and get us all gummed up and get us all... Listen, the funding of the kingdom should mainly be coming from this body, from us. Amen? Amen. I'm just saying. And I get accused, Pastor George, I get accused of talking about money too much. I have no problem talking about money. I have no problem talking about the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And one of the evil things that it does is it keeps you from funding the kingdom of God. Because you're so focused on materialism that you don't recognize. Listen, freely you have received, freely give. Who do you think? Oh my goodness. Well, Pastor, but I don't have very much money. Oh, you are loaded. See, I can't get no amen out of that because of your perspective. Your perspective is if you're not making, you know what, whatever your thought is, if you're making $50,000 a year, you're thinking, no, it's the 80,000 people who should be funding the kingdom. If you're making 80, you're thinking it's the people making over 100. If you're making over 100, you're, you know what, and oh my goodness, I'm going here. Can I go here? The problem is you've just got sucked up into the materialism, and you might be making $100,000 but you're living at a $120,000 lifestyle because you got sucked into the materialism and you are broke. But you don't have to be broke. You don't have to be broke. The love of money is the root of all evil. And we need to recognize, in world standards, every single one of us is absolutely rich. How many have a smartphone? Raise your hand for a smartphone. See, I don't even know. I know y'all have a smartphone. Amen? You know, what is the average price you spent for your smartphone? you know what, $800, $1,000, and you're whining because seven? Man, I only have a seven. I'm poor. I only have a seven. Well, you think you're poor. I only have a six. You're delusional. Amen? Fund the kingdom of God. Let God take care of you. Amen. Put the shoes of peace on. You put the shoes of peace on, and you won't be anxious for all the finances that you think you need. You'll recognize God is your provider. You'll recognize God will be the one who gives you contentment. If you're always looking for contentment from something materialistic, you're never going to be content. Mick Jagger, I quoted him already. You know what? You think Mick Jagger don't have enough money? You think when he wrote, can't get no satisfaction, he didn't have enough money? And on and on and on. All I could start telling you, the people that you know their names and you looked up to them, you admired them. They were great actors or great actresses or great singers or great movie producers, and all this, had all this money, but had no peace and ended up taking their own life. How tragic. And we got caught up to think that money is going to satisfy us. Money will not satisfy you. And you need to get your eyes off of money. Wow. That wasn't in any of my notes, but you just look at your neighbor and say, Pastor sometimes gives us free stuff. Amen. Amen. So you put these shoes on. Number one, spiritually you're okay. Number two, you know your life is going to be okay. And number three, you know God is going to provide for you if you'll put those gospel of shoes of peace. But I want to teach you one more thing, that if you put the gospel, the shoes of peace on, something else is going to happen. Because if you really have these shoes of peace, watch this. When you have these shoes of peace, when you walk in, oh, let's listen to the water. When you walk in, you're peaceful. And so when you have the shoes of peace, you bring peace to those who are around you. That's what I did at Albertsons. There was so much dissatisfaction and complaining and upsetness. And, oh, I hate my job. And, oh, when am I off? And, oh, when am I break? And their manager's all, How do you describe Albertsons? Here, let me describe it. Not even in a word. And it's just a, because that's how the people were. Do you work there? Not Albertsons, but do you work in the same place? And I would come in, and what would I have? I'd have the shoes of peace on, and I would bring peace. And I would deliver it in a very creative way. Somebody say a creative way. Loving you is beauty, cause I didn't even know the words. Is beauty, cause you're beautiful. And everything you do, I'm more in love with you. La 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 Scooby Dooby Doo. You think I'm not going there? Oh, I'm going there. No! Pastor, why did you pick that song? Because I obviously can't hit the note. I wasn't trying to minister beautiful music to them. I was trying to minister the love of Christ to them. If you leave me now, you take away the very heart of me. Ooh, baby, please don't go. Why did I pick that song? Same reason. You know what my mama used to say? You know what my mama used to say? You can't hurry love. No, you just have to wait. She said, love don't come easy. Why did you say that song? Because it was such a setup. I'd say to the customer, you know what my mom used to say? And they'd say, what? And I'd say, you can't hurry love. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Because I had the shoes of peace on. See, I'm bringing peace. Now, you do it in your creative way, and I'll do it in my creative way. But let me tell you what, I was making a difference at Albertsons. And ultimately, you got to understand, I'm not singing those songs except eventually to get to Jesus Christ to these people. Do you understand that? I'm not trying to get discovered. Right? Right? John chapter 14. God. John chapter 14. Look at verse 24. I'm reading out of the Amplified version. Just watch it up here on the screen. Peace I leave you, perfect peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. How do you do that? You put those shoes on every morning. You say, no, 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 no. God is going to go before me and make the crooked path straight. God has already taken care of me spiritually. God has already taken me financially. God has already taken care of my purpose in my life. And I have no reason to be anxious for nothing. Am I making sense to someone? Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. See, when you start to walk in this peace is not only for your life, but this peace you should now bring in, because you have these shoes on, now you're bringing this peace to these people all around you. Does that make sense? When I make out with my wife, loving you. How many know if she has some perfume on? And guess what? And I'm making out with her, I'm making out with her, I'm making out with her. And now, watch this. Now, oh, you guys like that, huh? And I'm making out with her, I'm making out with her, okay. And then, watch this. And then, George, they like that, okay. And then I'm over here, and you're like, what's one of your fragrances you like, honey? The coach fragrance. You're like, how many, coach for women, right? Okay. And I'm over here, and you're like, Pastor Drew, why do you have coach for women? Why do you have a coach for women on? Why? Why? I don't have coach for women on. I've been around my wife, and now what she has on, I have on. Does that make sense? The Bible says that they saw the apostles and they knew that they had been with Jesus. See, you ought to have the shoes of peace on because you're hanging out with Jesus so much that his peace, how many know Jesus is anxious for nothing? Now his peace is rubbed off on you. Now when you go into these places, guess what? The fragrance of Christ now you have on you, and you're bringing that fragrance to other people now. Is this making sense? That's our responsibility. Turn with, we learned this Wednesday, turn to John. Turn to John chapter 4. Listen, I'm telling you, Wednesday is the bomb. Wednesday is so good. We're in John, we're just reading verse upon verse, chapter upon chapter. It is amazing. John chapter 4, look at verse, watch this. He's talking to this woman at the well, and look at verse 14. We'll go up to verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give," say, "I shall give him," "will never thirst." Now watch this. "But the water that I give him," follow me with this, the water that God is going to give to us, who's got the water now? Come on, this is deep. Everybody follow me here. Jesus has water. Jesus has water. He gives this water to you. Take this. Now who has the water? Whose water do you have? Okay. Keep the water for a minute. "But the water that I shall give to you will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." See, sometimes we read this and we're like, "Oh, you're springing up into everlasting life. I don't know. I know how to say it. I know how to read it, but I don't know what it means." We think this is just poetic. It's not poetic. He's saying, this water that I'm going to give to you, you're going to drink. It's going to go down into your spirit. And now you're going to be around unsaved, unchristian people, and it's going to flow up out of you. And this flowing water that got you saved is now going to get them saved. It's going to flow into everlasting. They don't have everlasting life till they hung out with you. And this river came out of you. It's the gospel. It's coming now out of you. And now them being around you, they get saved. Are you learning something today? One more thing and then we'll end. Try it again. One more thing and then we'll end. Daniel, did you all with them? We'll try it again. One more thing and then we'll end. All right, that's better. Oh. All right, two more things and then we'll end. Okay, quickly. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Stay with me here, guys. Stay with me. Start with verse 51. This is Stephen speaking. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." I was speaking to somebody earlier today. There's some times that God will call you to be direct to people. Don't be direct to people just to be direct to people. But recognize there's sometimes a time that you need to just be straight up with people. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute?" Listen to this. Stay with me. "And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, and whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. You have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. Then they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth." All eyes up here. All eyes up here. They are absolutely livid. And all Stephen did was proclaim to them the truth of the prophets that they murdered, and then eventually Christ was given to them, and they murdered him. And he's going to tell them. Verse 55, but he being filled with the Holy Spirit gazed into heaven. He being filled with the Holy Spirit gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stop their ears and ran at him with one accord. Oh, they run at him, all of them. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Somebody say, don't ever think somebody's beyond saving. Now look at verse 59. And they stoned Stephen as he called on God and sang. Now, I got all to this point because I want you to understand Stephen had the shoes of peace on. Watch what he says. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. They are stoning him. What does he have? He's got the shoes of peace on. Now watch this. And when he had said this, he what? He fell asleep. Now, there's some people who would say, all that means is, like when Jesus, remember that young girl was dead and Jesus said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. Do you remember this? There would some that would say, all that is him just describing this death as sleep. And if you have that belief, I'm not going to argue with you. But can I tell you what I believe? I believe this is the shoes of peace as he's dying a violent death. And because he has the shoes of peace on, he's been in the will of God to say exactly what God wanted him to say. There's this supernatural thing that happens, and he's just... All right, now one more thing. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Can I have the whole worship team come on up? Starting with verse 1. And as they spoke the people, look at your neighbor, say, stay with me. And as the people spoke to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Some say they were greatly disturbed. They laid hands on them and they put them into custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed. Watch this. They're preaching the gospel. They're going to be thrown in jail. And they know that Jesus had already died. They already hung Jesus on the cross. They don't care. They're still going to preach the gospel. And because they're going to preach the gospel, because they have the shoes of peace on. Listen, when you can preach the gospel in the midst of somebody threatening to kill you, you got the shoes of peace on. You don't care. Guys, we need to relax. We need to not care enough about all this stuff going on. We need to focus on Jesus Christ. We need to put on the gospel, shoes of peace, that we would be able, like Pastor George does at his work, not care about what people say. He's just going to be himself all day long, and people are going to be moved because his has peace, so he brings the gospel of peace. And not only Pastor George needs to do that, but we all need to do that. These men don't care about the threats. They don't care that they're going to probably go to jail. And because they don't care, people get saved. However, many of those, verse 4, who had heard the word believed, and the number of them came about 5,000. 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers and the elders and the scribes, as well as Annas and the high priest, Eliphaz, son of Alexander, and as many as were in the family of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power and by what name do you do this?" You know what people don't want us to talk about? Jesus. That's the main thing. It's mainly right now in our nation and in the world. You know who the main people that are being persecuted? It's not the Muslims. It's not Hare Krishna. It's not all these other religions. The main religion where people are testifying and dying is Christianity. It's about Jesus. And when they had set them in the midst, they said, "By what power and by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for the good deed to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which was become the chief cornerstone." Watch this. I quoted this earlier today. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven among men by which you may be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And see, that's the fragrance. "And setting this man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do with these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. So that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name.' So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." I read all that to get to this point. "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have heard and we have seen.' So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because the people since had glorified God for what he had done. For the man was over 40 years old with whom the miracle had healing been performed." What's my point? My point is, when you have these shoes of peace, you'll be bold and you don't care what other people think. We are living, listen, somebody listen to me. We're living in a different day. And the calmness of the day is over. We live in a day of craziness. And you need to put the shoes of peace on, knowing that you are okay with God. And knowing that they might threaten you, they might come against you, they might threaten to kill you, they might kill you. But you don't care. Because you know the truth. When you know the truth, and you know the only thing that's going to get them saved is Jesus, if you really start caring about them more than you, then you don't care. you recognize your life is but a vapor anyway. Who cares if you die at 50 or 60 or 70 or 80? Or who cares? How many know we're all going to die? I said, how many know we're all going to die? I said, how many know we're all going to die? This is the kind of message that needs to start being preached in America. Because if tribulation is coming, we need to make sure we have all the armament. But please don't leave your home without the shoes of peace, because you don't need to be intimidated by people who are going to try to shut you up. And the main thing they're going to try to get you to do is not talk about Jesus.